As far as the outcome of the game, I saw no evidence of any cheating. You're good, Monty. Everybody knows that. But tonight, you simply ran into somebody better. It happens sometimes.
You couldn't see good enough sitting clear over there where you were. Especially not with everybody crowded round.
I could see good enough to stand by my statement. The game was fair. It's over. You lost.
You ought not to be butting into this.
But I am. And what I say goes around here.
Hey, don't let this fancy-shirted bastard back you down, Ray. That dirty cheater called both of us liars, too. We ain't gonna stand for that, are we?
Don't forget, this fancy boy's got those bouncers of his.
To hell with him and his bouncers, Kingston. I'll stand for no man cheating me. And I'll damn sure not let some sneaky weasel call me a liar.
All right. Go ahead and do what you're gonna do, and I'll cover you.
With that, he made a move that was totally unexpected and executed with surprising speed, yanking a six-gun from the waistband of his trousers and thrusting its muzzle up under Cormier's chin.
Yeah, your thumper's in your bar, man, just to relax, mister. You can keep that fancy shirt of yours from getting messed up with a lot of nasty blood.
The two bouncers at either end of the room and the stocky drink slinger behind the bar, all three froze helplessly. Whatever action Monty and Russert might have taken from there became a moot point because John didn't wait for it. First, he snatched the cue ball from the table and flung it into the face of Monty. Next, John took the cue stick he still held in one hand and whirled it around until the fat, lead-weighted end was extending away from him. He spun to face the bull rush of Russert, coming around one end of the pool table. John met the rush by momentarily cocking the cue stick back over one shoulder and then slammed the fat end hard across Russert's middle. John tossed away the broken twig he now held in his hands and quickly closed on Russert, driving his knee viciously upward to pulverize the nose of the lowering face. Russert straightened up, twin jets of blood spraying out of his flattened nostrils, then tipped to one side and fell heavily to the floor. John immediately turned back to Monty, who, on the other side of the table, had regained his balance and was shoving away those around him who helped keep him upright. Not wanting to allow the miner a chance to get any more set than that, John used his height and long legs to vault up onto the pool table and then leaped from it straight into Monty. His crashing weight drove his adversary back and down. Onlookers scattered frantically to get out of the way. The two men rolled across the floor, kicking, gouging, throwing in close punches and elbows. After a minute, they separated and clambered to their feet, fists raised, teeth bared, ready to slam into one another all over again. That's when deputies Peter and Vern Macy came barging through the front door. Peter swept the room with a drawn Colt as Vern wielded a double-barreled shotgun.
Everybody freeze! Stay right where you are! Keep your hands empty and in plain sight!
Sam Kingston withdrew the gun from under Cormier's chin and let it drop to the floor, raising his hands to shoulder height.
Nothing personal, Mr. Cormier. Fellas got a back to play of his parts. That's all there is to it. Even when they're mule-ass dumb, it's what you gotta do.